right. The title this morning, if you are a note taker, is The Enemy's Help. The Enemy's Help, Part 12. Part 12. Something good about a dozen. Amen? Something good about a dozen. Part 12. It's January 6, 2013, the first Sunday of the new year. So we're going to start off right by talking about the enemy's help and how he's going to help us in 2013, how he's going to move us forward, how he's going to project us forward in the things of God. And we want to continue on our series. And we've said that the enemy hates your potential. That's the reason why he picks on you. People pick on you because you got potential. People pick on you because they see something inside of you they wish they had. The devil wishes he had what you have. You got Jesus. Amen. And there's greatness inside of you. And this is your year to succeed. 2013 will be your year to succeed. This, I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I said this will be a year that you'll succeed in great things. And the enemy knows that once you uproot and you defeat the enemy that's been within you, your flesh and all the stuff that you've been dealing with, you'll be able to be free to be able to help somebody else. He don't want you. He wants you bound up. He wants you jacked up. He wants you handcuffed and held back so that you can't help somebody else. See, the enemy within us is usually a root problem. Sometimes we don't want to confront something because it may hurt. But I'm telling you by the Spirit this morning, confront whatever has been facing you and move on. Amen. Start now because it's only going to get worse if you don't. Amen. And it's not the devil that needs rebuking. It's our undisciplined style, our lifestyle sometimes that we live in this world. And we need to start using God's Word to begin to transform our lives. We said last week that we need to put some lines of separation between our weakness and yourself. In other words, you gotta stay away from the fire, otherwise you get burned. If you start hanging around with your old friends again, you're gonna be running with the old pack, you're gonna be doing the old things you used to do. You hang around people that steal cars, eventually you're stealing cars with them. You hang around with dogs that got fleas, guess what? You end up getting fleas too. Amen? Don't let your short-term passions, your flesh, destroy your long-term blessings. Don't give up a steak dinner for a bowl of beans. Don't walk in the flesh. God's got some blessings in store for you. That's what we said last week. Today's decisions are tomorrow's realities. Whatever you decide today, tomorrow it'll be a reality. So make sure that you're making wise choices and good decisions because reality will strike you straight in the face. Amen? We said last week as well that there's an anointing that destroys the yoke. And the Bible says in Hebrews, the Hebrew word for anointing was actually transferred to the word of fatness. And we gave the illustration last week of an ox. And an ox, when they're very young, they put a yoke around it, a heavy weight around it, because you can't tame one of those oxes when they're big. They become big, strong, and burly. They're like Brutus in Popeye, you know what I'm saying? You gotta put something on to weigh them down at first, but what happens is as they grow and they get bigger and they get fatter, it breaks that yoke. It breaks it from the inside out. And I'm here to tell you, and we said last week, that God's not going to remove something from you from the outside. It's going to be removed from the inside. The only way you get stuff removed from you is you begin to fill yourself up with the Word of God, and those things that were in you get plucked and pushed out. Amen? My daughter gave me a good illustration the other day about sweat. Sweat means your body's crying. Amen? It's pushing out that water, and we go to the dry sauna, it's funny, and you sit there, and all of a sudden that water beads out. It's pushing out what was inside of you. It's just like the Word of God. When you have some foul things in you, if you use the Word of God, it begins to push those things out. It becomes like a fatness. It begins to push the things out, and it breaks that yoke that was holding you down. So this morning, we're going to continue a little bit about, when we're weak and how God's going to help us make us strong and how we deal with our flesh a little bit, because the devil wants to beat you up. He wants to hold you back, and I'm not going to allow him to hold us back in 2013. Amen? This is our year. This is our year when the church soars to the limits. Amen? This is our year that our finances get in order. It's our year that we have an abundance and a surplus. Amen? So We're going to look at the Word. If you want to stand for the reading of the Word, 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. We've been studying this for weeks. 2 Corinthians 4, 17. And it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." In other words, we're going to go through some light affliction. We're going to go through some tests. We're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some stuff, but it's just for a moment. It's a light affliction. It's a nuisance. It says, "While we do not look at things that are seen, but things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The things that we see, our clothes, you know, moths will eat them. Our cars will rust. But the things that we don't see are things that are eternal, things that God's got planned for us that will last for eternity. But we're going to go through some stuff on earth. We're going to be afflicted. We're going to be made fun of. We might get picked on. We may go through some tests, but we go through the test to have a testimony. Jesus went through the test of the cross to have the testimony. Lord, bless your people. Let them receive this morning your word. Let them hear, Lord God, with spiritual ears. And Lord God, let them walk out of here transformed by the power of your word. Touch each person here, Lord God. Let them hear your word. Let them get in tune this morning with what's going to be spoken through your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, you can be seated if you can. 2013. We're going to get a little bit more help from the enemy. He's going to try to wear you down, but you can outlast him. Amen? When you are weak, let's talk about this for a second. Everybody has a dominant gift and a dominant weakness. Let me say that again. Everyone has a dominant gift, and every person has a dominant weakness. Take a look at Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Bible says this: "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered." There's a Spirit, the Holy Spirit, amen, that helps us in our weakness. When we are weak, God is what? Strong. So we rely upon God's strength when we're weak. Amen. I said everybody has a dominant gift and a dominant weakness. And throughout your Christian life, you'll find that you're usually not going to be attacked in the area of your strength because the devil knows he can't win. But he will attack you in your area where you're weak. And you've got to understand where your weakness is so you can guard against the attack. Every person has a weakness. Amen? Every person has a weakness. You know what that weakness is. And what you need to do is you need to guard yourself against that. The enemy, we said in the past, is anyone or anything that feeds your dominant weakness. The enemy is anyone or anything that feeds your dominant weakness. This morning you may have a dominant weakness. Maybe you're undisciplined, you're lazy, you get angry real quick, or perhaps you spend money foolishly, or you're impulsive, or perhaps you're sexually irresponsible, or maybe you're just always late. Come on. Getting quiet in this Catholic church this morning. David, King David, Samuel, Samson, Peter, Paul, Adam, they all had a weakness, so you're not alone. Don't say, "Oh, I'll beat myself up." No, they all had weaknesses. King David had a weakness with women. Solomon, he had so many wives, he couldn't count them all. Peter had issues. Paul had issues. Adam had issues. We all got a weakness. Your dominant weakness wants you to pursue the people and situations that feed it. And at the same time, it pulls you away from people who don't justify, validate, or tolerate it. Let me say that again. Your dominant weakness wants to be pursued by other people. You want to hang around with certain people because they feed that weakness. If you're smoking dope, you want to hang around with those people that smoke dope, and then you got other people are telling you, don't do that. But you don't want to hang around with them because they're talking about you. Hey, quit doing that. But your other friends are encouragers. Come on, just go ahead and do that. Your dominant weakness wants to pursue the people and situations that feed it. And at the same time, it pulls you away from people that try to tell you and won't justify it, won't validate it, won't tolerate it. Will say, stop what you're doing. It's going to hurt you. And don't fool yourself in thinking that you don't have a dominant weakness, because everybody does. And sooner or later, it will surface when you least expect it. Remember how the devil says that whatever is in darkness will eventually be exposed to light? I can't wait to run for president. They're going to find a lot of stuff in my closet. I'm going to tell them all about it beforehand. Amen? They ain't going to find nothing else. Nobody's squeaky clean. Only Jesus was. Amen? Take a look at 2 Corinthians 13:4. 2 Corinthians 13:4. This is about your weakness. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Let me clarify something about this morning about weakness. All weaknesses are not necessarily sin. Uh-oh. You may have weaknesses that are also your strength, but you got to learn how to balance it. I'll give you an illustration. I have a strength, a dominant strength. I'm an A-type personality. Before I even wake up in the morning, I got my list of 98 things I'm going to get done. Somehow, some way. That means I got to get up at 3 in the morning to start them, baby. I'm going to go, baby, go. Well, that's a strength because I get things accomplished. You hand me the ball, somehow I'm going to get it done. But it's also a weakness, a fault, because sometimes I got so much plan that if I don't get it done, I beat myself up over it. And then I try to drive everybody around me to do all those same things I'm trying to do. Amen? So I have to have my bus driver, my wife, there and say, well, back it down, boy. You ain't going to go do all these things today. I'm not going to go do it. You have your plan. That's good. You got 48 things you're going to do today. But, you know, don't drive me that way. So sometimes it could be a weakness as well. So I have to learn to balance that. But here's another illustration about a weakness. It may not be a sin. Maybe you've got lots of dreams but no discipline, and you've told people and you've talked to them about your dreams for 20 years, but you've never done anything about them. That's a weakness, but maybe not a sin. Because we've talked about doing it, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm working on it, and I'm thinking about going to the gym, and but I haven't gotten there yet. Or you get those nice videos on exercise, but you sit there and watch them instead of actually participate in it. Come on. Can't see why I'm not losing that weight. I watched Richard Simmons 9 times do the cardio stuff, and it ain't working for me as I'm eating my bowl of ice cream. Where's those chips at? It's a weakness. I have a weakness for sugar, sweets. I like cookies. I like donuts, and I like ice cream, and I love cheesecake. And it's a weakness, so I have to back it down. I that's why I don't work at a restaurant. Amen. Because it would feed, right? It would feed my weakness. So try to avoid the places that have all that good stuff. Only on a special occasion should I have that dessert. Amen? You need to get rid of what's sinking your dreams. I'm going to give you an illustration this morning. There's many of us that have something that's sinking our dreams. Either people talking negative about you or things that have come in your way that's been sinking your dreams. And I love the Apostle Peter because, you know, he showed us how much he was flawed as a human. He was impulsive. He talked too much. He was proud. He was two-faced. It brings me comfort that he was considered a pillar of faith, so there's hope for you and me. Amen. Peter didn't always get it right. Take a look at Matthew 4:18. Matthew 4:18. Let's talk a little bit about Peter for a second, because I just want you to see that he was a regular Joe like you and I. It says, and Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. This is Matthew 4:18. And he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were what? Fishermen. They were fishermen. Their identity in life was fishermen. He was a fisherman. Jesus walked by the sea and he seen Peter and he seen his brother Andrew and said, hey man, you guys are fishermen. Now I thought about this. For Peter, as many of us here today, the boat represents something comfortable to Peter because he was a fisherman. He loved the boat that brought him security. It was a comfortable thing. It's an old habit, an addiction, a crutch, a sure thing, a safety net. When all else fails, he had fishing to fall back on. What God's been asking us to do is step out in faith. But see, Peter, he kept the boat around just in case. God doesn't want you to have a plan B. He just wants you to have plan A and follow his plan. But a lot of us have a plan B and a C and a D and an E and an F. Amen? And God wants you in 2013 to start early and get rid of plan B. Get rid of that plan because that plan B is going to sink your dreams. You need to put all your faith into him. I think about Peter. The boat really never left his heart when you think about it. He was 3 years with Jesus. I thought about this. He walked with Jesus every day. He shared meals with Jesus every day. He's seen miracles and signs and wonders and was under the teaching of Jesus for 3 years. And for a while, his past was behind him. Peter was no longer a fisherman, but he became a fisher of men. For 3 years, he was with Jesus. Watching 5,000 people get fed. Blind eyes getting seen. Open ears. Dead people being risen. Lame walking. And I'm thinking, Peter, man, you've been with Jesus, all that. And yet you still are holding on to your past. I mean, my first job, I was a dishwasher at a Chinese restaurant. I let go of that past. I didn't want to stay as a dishwasher my whole life. But Peter held on still. He had this past. He never let go of the boat. And sometimes if you hold on to the boat, it might sink. The dreams that God has for you. And Jesus, I'm thinking about this, the whole time Peter was with him, he's seen so much and learned so much, yet when Jesus went to the cross, Peter began to revisit his old lifestyle. And he went back to fishing temporarily. Where is that, Pastor? Take a look at John 21, verse 3. John 21, verse 3. It says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, hey, we're going with you also. And they went out immediately, got in the boat, and that night they caught what? Nothing. He ain't going to catch nothing because he's out of where he's supposed to be. He was out of the will of God. You're going to catch nothing when you're out of the will of God. But it's funny, when Jesus died and went to heaven, rose from the dead, fulfilled the scriptures, did all these miracles, all these signs, that Peter went back to his old way. That's sometimes what we do. He went back to the boat. Do you have an old lifestyle tempting you? Are you under pressure to do something that you might look good today, but you know will be bad for you tomorrow? Think about Peter. It was 3 years with Jesus, calling him to a new life that caused him to keep his boat around. If we're being honest this morning, some of us are like Peter. At some point in our life, God has called us to do something great. He's called us to walk and trust Him and believe in Him and sell out for Him, but we still hold on to the boat that's sinking your dream. The devil will use your past to hold you from your future. And I ask God, why be in the series right now? Why today? God says it's a new beginning. It's 2013. And some people are still holding on to the past of 2012. You know Jesus. You've walked with Jesus. You've seen His miracles, signs, and wonders. He's healed your sick body. And yet we want to go back to something. It's not good for us. Because our flesh pulls us. And people pull us. And come on. It's okay, you know. No, it's not. Don't rely on an old way of life to get you back to where God wants you. God has something new for you. He's already breathed a new dream in you. He's given you a new vision, an uncommon future in mind. You need to get rid of the boat or it'll sink your dreams. Peter needed to get rid of his boat because it was going to sink his dreams. And many of us hold on to the boat. I know what it is to sink a boat. I've been there, done that. It'll sink your dreams. It'll make you feel like, uh-oh, it's all over. But God has got something great in store for you. And you can't rely on your old ways to get you into your new dreams. Sometimes you got to cut some of the old past so that you can move into the bright future. Let me give you a good example of this. Finances. Finances are an area where people struggle. And I really believe when we pray for people for finances that God will come within days and send you money to give you temporary relief. Underline the word temporary relief. Because poverty is something different. Poverty has nothing to do with income. It has everything to do with your thinking. And poverty isn't a financial state of affairs. It's a state of mind. And people stay in a poverty mindset. And the reason why they do that is what happens is the devil holds them there. Well, I'll never have anything nice. I'll never have a new car. I'll never have a new house. And God already said you can have those things. Don't hold on to your past because your future is way too bright. I believe when we pray for people for finances, finances will come somehow, some way for that person, but then that person needs to do something. They can't just sit and wait and pray again that, oh, God, I need another $100 for my cell phone. Sometimes you need to go stretch your faith out a little bit and go out and get off the boat and get out of your old mindsets and change your thinking and trust God. Uh-oh. Yeah, I mean, I got to step out. Boy, that sounds familiar this morning. Eh? Then you got to step out. Got to step it up a little bit. Got to do something a little different than the way you were doing. When you step up and step out, people take notice. Remember that you're much more powerful than you think. You may have some enemies lurking inside of you, but there's something else at work inside of you called the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 4:4 says this, 1 John 4:4, I'll close with this scripture. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than any circumstance, any situation that you face. It's bigger than bankruptcy. It's bigger than cancer. It's bigger than any sickness or disease that comes your way. He who is in you, the Holy Spirit, who's in you, is bigger than your circumstances and situations. Peter finally did get it. He finally got rid of his boat that was holding back his dreams. But why go back? Why waste the time? God wants you to be moving forward. Time is short. God's got big plans for you. God's got some some things that are going to impact other people, and he doesn't want you to be delayed or slowed down. Don't allow the enemy to hinder you or slow you back from what God's planned for you. You have greatness inside of you. You have a bright future. You've been pushing the plow in certain areas of your life, and you're going to have breakthrough in those areas. You got to fight your flesh every day and put lines of separation between your weakness and yourself. Because we all have a dominant strength, and we all have a dominant weakness. We need to put a barrier. I can't get to that. The devil can't touch me. I'm putting a block. I'm putting a separation wall so that I don't step mount those boundaries. There are certain people I don't go and hang with no more because it'll encourage my weakness and have me drawn in there, and I don't want to go there. Amen. I'm not your pastor that you take down for the strip club ministry. I'm not. That was a weakness, and I know I don't go play there. Now, there are other people who don't have an issue with that, and that's not the way. But they may have a problem going to buy a casino because they were gamblers. And their ministry is not going to be gambling ministry. Amen? I don't try to put myself in those situations. I draw a line. I don't want to get burned by the fire. When you're weak, God is strong. Allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you during your struggles. Think long term and stick to God's plan. Don't sell short your passions and destroy your long term blessings. Don't hold on to the boat. It'll sink your dreams just like it did Peter. Don't allow your old lifestyles to pull you back. What God has started in you, He will finish. It may be kicking. It may be shouting. Your flesh may be screaming. Your body may be going, I don't want to do this. But God's got a great plan for you. My wife and I will tell you, we've been going to the gym, and we've been trying to go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week. We're trying to get fit because we're getting older. And when I was young and I was 30, I could work out for 5 days in a row and lose 10 pounds. And now I work out 2 weeks and I lose a half a pound. You know what I'm saying? It's metabolism's a lot slower. But every day we're in there, we're pounding it, we're hitting it, we're running, we're jogging, we're jumping, we're lifting, we're building muscles, we're stretching our faith, and we're not going to allow our old lifestyles to pull us back. We're not going to be ordering pizza 5 days a week. Might get it once in a while. We love pasta. I'm Polish and Italian. I get mad and don't know why. But I love Italian. I love Polish food. All that stuff's got a load of gazillion calories in it. I have a weakness with sweets. I don't want to go to the place where they sell all the sweets. Cheesecake Factory is dangerous to me. Can I have one of those, and a bottle of insulin, please? Now we go to Whole Foods. It only costs me 5 times what I'd normally pay for food. So then you eat less because there's not enough money, enough. The end of the week, then you're fasting. Praise God, I get to fast. Hallelujah. But you got to get rid of your old lifestyle. Don't allow those things to pull you back. When what God started in you, He will finish. Stick with people who will propel your dreams and not talk against them. There's some people that have been talking smack about you. Get rid of them in your life. Distance yourself from them. Step away from them a little bit. It may be friends, it may be family, it may be your kids that are talking. Maybe you just need to distance yourself from them, just for a season, and see how much better your life is. You got to protect yourself against your dominant weakness. My dominant weakness is give all the time. But sometimes I find a million people always want to give. Now I have to ask the question, how can I help them, but in a different way? How can I help them help themselves? Me giving it to them doesn't help them. It just fixes the wound. It's putting a Band-Aid over what's supposed to be exposed. Don't hold on to the boat. Don't to have a plan B. Just run as fast as you can, as hard as you can with God. Have plan A, His plan, the God plan. I mean, I know I used to have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D and a plan E, and that plan didn't work. I'd try that plan. And then I said, well, God, if I get you involved and you give me the plan, it won't fail. Our plans fail, His never does. When we're doing His plan and we get off course, it may look like failure, but it's not. He'll just get you back. Because remember, what He started in you, He's going to complete. He's going to complete it one way or another. He's going to complete it in you. It could be pretty ugly, though, if you're fighting Him on it. Sometimes He has a way of increasing the pain to get your attention. I mean, I think about Job. He had it all, but he loved Jesus. But he's getting His attention. There's a dominant weakness the devil will try to use. He'll try to use it. He'll bring people. He'll use circumstances. He'll use situations. You need to try to put a dividing wall between it. Because if you play with fire long enough, guess what? You will get burned. Protect yourself against it. Know that you got the Holy Spirit that's going to guide you, direct you, help you, comfort you. Start off 2013 with the right step forward. The world's going to judge you. They're going to look at you. Think of you as a FBI agent. Just think about that. You're undercover. And as soon as they get to know you, oh man, you're going to spring up on them and tell them about Jesus. Because there's something they're missing. You can be rich and still die and go to hell. You can still be rich and have sickness and you'd pay any price you could to get healed, and all you need to do is call on the name of Jesus. But you go to 18 different medical doctors and spend all your money and you're still sick. One with the issue of blood. All she needed to do is get into faith with God and go and do His plan. She tried her other plans, but every one of those plans, what? Failed. But then when she seen Jesus, said, hey, all I got to do is touch the hem of His garment. Faith. Faith in action. Just got to go touch it. And boom, she was healed. God just wants you to put your faith into action. Remember, you've been bought with a price and you've been covered by the blood of Jesus. There is an enemy and he's there to help you propel, to move you into a new season. We moved out of 2012, we're in 2013. Forget about the past. The past can't change. But your future is very bright. Your future, He's got something great in store for you. Your future, if you allow God to be part of it, will be exciting. Never said it was easy. Walking and being a Christian is not easy. But it is rewarding. I sure can sleep every night on my pillow and have peace when I didn't have peace. I know that if my body gets riddled with some sickness, that I can pray and He'll heal me. I know that when I call upon His name, He shall answer. I know when I'm in despair that I can call on Jesus and then He'll come and help me. Shout with me this morning. I will protect against my dominant weakness. I will walk in the blessing of God. I am the head and not the tail. I will focus on my future that is bright in Christ Jesus. Hey, devil, I place you on notice. In 2013, I won't take your bait. I will not be delayed. I will not be held back. I will not go back. My steps have been ordered by God. I'm moving forward. There's an enemy, and I will defeat him. The anointing resides in me. Yokes are being destroyed. And I'm walking in the blessings of God. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm a king's kid. I'm a follower of Jesus. In your name I pray, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Did you get anything? Amen. Amen. Is it good? Yep. Do you feel a little inspired? Yep. Do you? Yep. Do you feel like you can go attack the world? That you can win? Yep. That you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? Yep. You're the head, not the tail? Yep. You're above and not beneath? Yep. You're always blessed coming in. You're even more blessed going out. Yep. You're highly favored. Yep. Let's check it. You're healed. Yep. You're whole. Yep. You're not compromising. I don't know about you, I'm blessed. I'm excited. I'm excited about what 2013 has for me. I mean, I know my daughter's graduating, that's one excitement, but I got some other things that God's going to do for us. I'm going to go to some new levels in the things of God. I'm going to be floating in the heavenlies. I'm going to have the glory cloud over my home, and people are going to walk around the neighborhood while they're walking their dogs saying, what's going on over there? What's going on over there? Wow, those people are blessed over there. Wow. What's going on over there? Boy, that person's been, they just went through the valley of fire, but man, they walked out not even tarnished or turned and not even smell smoke. Devil put me in the furnace with the other brothers, but I ended up coming out because there was another one in there that just helped me. Amen. 2013 gonna be good. My lucky number, 13. Amen. 13, man, it's God's grace. He's going to be upon us. He's going to work in us and through us. All we got to do is participate. All we got to do is let go of the things that have been holding us down. The naysayers. Let them talk from a distance. That way I don't have to hear them. I talked to my boss on Friday. I said, this year will be better than last year. He said, how do you know? I said, just God told me. If you liked what the results you got this year, oh, next year in 2003, you're going to like it even more. I don't brag about me, but I had, from a small, I don't make the most money in the company as far as an office, but my numbers were number one across the board. The lowest overhead, the highest percentage of profit, based upon the dollars that were brought in. That wasn't by chance. That was by God. See, I get to go to a meeting on the 14th, and I get to testify about Jesus in front of about 150 sales guys and my president of the company, and he'll say, well, what was your secret to success? Oh, don't even ask me that. Well, just let me tell you, it was hard work, and I have this friend who's an encourager, who's an advocate, who's my best friend, who's steering my course, who I've put all my trust in, named Jesus. And the reason why we're blessed is because maybe, and you might not like to hear it, but maybe because I lay hands on all our proposals, and most of them come in, and we have favor. We're not always the lowest price, but we're always picked. What's your key to the success? I serve a mighty God. Failure is not an option for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm a king's kid. You're looking out for me. You're lucky to have me on your team. Why? Because I'm going to help you bless this company. Oh, that's pretty bold. No, that's reality. I put my whole heart in that company just like I put my whole heart in the things of God. What did the boss say when he came in town? He says, you got heart. He says, the reason why you'll be successful is because you got heart. You're living it here. I'm living here with him. We're connected. Blessings flow from him to me, to the company, with ideas, thoughts, pick the right employees. No drama. No drama. No drama. No drama queens work for me. Lay hands on proposals. That's crazy. Praying over that big box that you're going to take over to the state of Nevada. I'm going to get that job. Why? Because I did the most homework, I did the most research, and the King of Kings is on my side. We walk in meetings, and I have a new sales guy with me, and he's like, well, what are you going to say? I'm going to just ask for the order. I'll tell the guy, I'm going to do whatever it takes to do your work for you. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to, and you know, and we go do the job, and it was so nice to hear from a customer. And I was with the sales guy, and I said, I just wanted to come to make sure the job was done for you, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. And he says, your guys came out, and they did a wonderful job. They got there on time. They did their job completely. They did it with ethics. They did it things morally. I mean, there were some shortcuts they could have took, but I watched your guys not take the shortcuts and do it right. And I know it cost you a little bit more, but the job looks so much better. Thank you for having guys with integrity. Thank you for having guys that have some drive and some work ethic, some craftsmanship. And he said, as he was signing the check to send out to us, he had to do a survey, and he said, it's the best company I've ever had come perform work for us. And he said that in front of the sales guy. I said, do you get it now? What I'm trying to do, if we do the right thing every time, and you instill that into people, and you start, and you're the one that's inbreeding that into them, they don't even realize that they're doing it until all of a sudden they get this report. I share it with all guys. I just want to tell you, you did a great job. This company, the company that we just visited, said this about you. That you were there on time, you were punctual, you were polite, you didn't take shortcuts, you're a person of integrity. And I can't wait to do more business with you. Keep that same crew that you have. Where did I learn it from? I learned it from my elder brother, Jesus. No shortcuts with Jesus. He took no shortcuts. Lord, bless your people. As they go forth, Lord God, as they start this new year off right, Father God, let them start off just by praising and worshiping you. Lord God, let them give you all the thanks and all the praise. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for this year, Lord God. I thank you for what you're going to do. I'm glad for miracles, signs, and wonders that you're going to do in us and through each and every one of us, Lord God. And Lord God, you're going to touch us. You're going to bless us. You're going to guide us, and you're going to direct us. Have your way in each and every one of us. Let this week be our best week ever. Whatever we are seeking after, Lord God, we'll find in you. Father God, if it's new jobs, if it's more finances, Lord God, you will open up doors that have been locked and closed, Lord. You're going to bust forth those locks today, and we're going to walk out boldly because we're trusting your plan, no other plan. We forego every other plan, Lord, because those will sink our dreams. But, Lord God, we are focusing on your plan. We're going to put it all in, Lord God, and we're going to believe, and we're going to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.